Number 93. 93. Brethren, we have met to worship. Why don't we stand one more time?
Thank you. just a tiny branch on a mighty tree. All right. Well, that was good. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. While you're turning there, don't forget now tonight in the evening service, we started last week on looking at end time events. Handed out a timeline. Hope you still have it in your Bible, in the flyleaf of your Bible somewhere. Bring it along with you tonight. We will continue down the road of prophetic events, things that are going to be taking place in the future. We see earthquakes in all kinds of places and all kinds of other things going on in the world telling us that we must be in the end times. What does the Bible say are the next things that are going to take place? That's what we're going to look at. And so I encourage you to come on out. Be here tonight, 6:30. Start out with some singing, and then we'll get right into the discussion of prophetic events to take place in the future. Do you know what's going to take place? If not, you need to come find out. Bring your Bible, and we'll study and get these things understood. Let's see. I also have a book here on the book table. This is a Eggermeyer's Bible story book for children. Actually, it's for the adults to read to the children. And it has good pictures throughout it like that to go along with the stories that you would be reading to the children. One of my favorite pictures in here, I can't find it right now, but one of my favorite ones is the one that shows Daniel in the lion's den with all the lions walking about looking to eat him. And of course, they couldn't that day. Nah, I'm not going to find it. But there are pictures like that, very interesting, colorful pictures along with stories. Maybe you're a grandparent. When the grandkids come, sit them down. Time for Bible time. And read a Bible story to them out of Eggermeyer's Bible story book. This book's been around since I've been a little kid, and I'm sure even before that. My mom would sit down and she'd say, "Okay, Gary, what story do you want to hear?" And it would be Daniel in the lion's den. I want to hear that. And she said, "Well, how about we read something different?" But I always enjoyed that. They were very great times with my parents reading Bible stories. So it's $10. It's a $15 book, and we'd just make it $10. And there's two of them. So if you want one, get one. The last time I announced it, it was gone just like that. So I got two more in case anybody else wants it. We have pamphlets on the Christian home by my dad. Wrote this a long time ago. If you would like to just get a Bible understanding of how the home should be run, get a hold of one of these. It's on the back literature rack back there. Also, I got copies of my dad's commentary on the book of Revelation. That might be good as well as we're studying prophetic things on Sunday night. Book on Bible doctrines affected by new modern versions. You often hear me say to you that this is missing out of the new modern versions and that. Well, his book, it's over 170 different places in the Bible where the new versions change things, and it affects doctrine. It affects doctrine. It's not just a matter of them wanting to give you a Bible easier to understand. The devil is behind this corrupting of the Word of God, and they take things out which they should not take out, and as a result, they affect doctrine. So it's not just a matter of, well, I want an easier to read Bible. No, you end up losing doctrine when you use the corrupt versions of the Bible. So those things are available to you back there. And I think that's about it. Let's take a look now at Matthew chapter 28. We're getting down to the end of our study verse by verse in the book of Matthew. And I just want to read the beginning part and take us down to where we're going to end here today. In chapter 28, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and other Mary to see the sepulchre. All right, death, burial of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we're going to see the resurrection here. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance, and this would be the angel that was there, was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake. They were the soldiers that were placed there at the tomb of Jesus. They had sealed it up and to keep him from being able to come out of there, keep the disciples from going in and stealing his body, and then claiming that he rose up from the dead. But those keepers, when this happened, it says they became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, "Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you." And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "All hail." And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, "Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me." Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, "Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you." So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. So we have the announcement of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as they hear what the angel says, that he's not here, he is risen, and they were told to go tell the disciples to meet him down in Galilee, one of the favorite places that the Lord would minister throughout his lifetime. And as they were running to go to tell the disciples, verse 7, go quickly. They did that. Verse 8, and they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and they did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, and here's the title of the message this morning, "All hail." All hail. So our Lord Savior Jesus Christ goes and he meets the women that had the message of the resurrection. And they had, their hearts were filled with, well, both fear, and the word fear in the Greek is phobos, phobia, all right? They had fear and they had great joy at the same time. Fear probably because of such a strange thing taking place, that the Lord has risen and they've been given this message to go tell the disciples. And what a beautiful picture of how we should be evangelizing this world, by the way. Come see, go quickly and tell. All right. We need to come see. What do we need to see? That our Lord and Savior both died on the cross, was buried, and then he rose up from the grave. We need to come and see that too. We need to know that and understand that. And I'm going to show you some verses that really bring that out in just a bit. But we need to come and see. Then we need to go quickly. Well, yes, there's urgency here for us as the church today to go quickly and do what? Tell the good news. Jesus rose up from the grave. And any who believe on him can have this gift of everlasting life. You might say, "Well, I don't see that there. They were just going to tell the disciples." But if you just think about it just a little bit more and draw it out, you will see you need to do the same thing these women did that day. Acknowledge the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord. Realize the urgency of the hour. Go quickly and tell the message. What's the message? Jesus Christ can save sinners. He conquered death and will give you everlasting life if you will simply believe. So with fear and great joy, they went. As they went, the Lord appears unto them in the way. He met them And he said to them, all hail. Now that word hail means to rejoice. All rejoice. All hail. All rejoice. I believe Jesus would have us do the same today. You know what? Too many other things get our attention today instead of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but being a Christian, being saved, is a life-changing and a life-engulfing event. It should take up all of our life. I know some people say, well, you know, you can get too carried away with it. How could you say you can get too carried away with what we're reading about here in the scriptures? Our Lord and Savior, who came of from heaven, he was up in heaven before he came down, lowered himself down, was born of a woman, a virgin at that, and took upon himself the form of a man, walked on this earth for 30 years, and then presented himself as the Messiah of Israel and also as the Savior of the world. And then he went to that cross, and there he paid the price for sin. And then they laid him in the tomb. And for 3 days and three nights there, he remained in, his body remained there. And the Bible tells us his soul went down into hell. And there he preached unto people who were there. If you remember the sermon, I preached on the two compartments in hell. And there he preached. But the third day, after the third day and third night, up from the grave he arose. And once again, I'm going to say, I believe the stone was rolled away not to let Jesus out, but to let the women and the disciples in to see that it was empty. I believe the Lord was already rose up from the grave. And then here he comes now, and he sees these women running with the news that the angels gave to them, that the Lord is risen from the grave, and they're going to tell the disciples. And on their way, he comes and approaches unto them, and he says, all hail, all hail. Everybody rejoice. I think we should still be all hailing the Lord Jesus Christ even now. We should all be rejoicing in this great thing that has happened. And it should change our whole life, our whole aspect on life. I hear people tell me, I know they've said to my wife and I, as they've watched us throughout our pilgrim journey down here on this earth, you get too involved in the church. Oh, I suppose you won't be able to be with us on Sunday night because you have church, don't you? Yeah, they just think that we're crazy. I'm not crazy. I'm full of joy and happiness. And really, I'm not saying I'm the greatest at this, but we want to all hail the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to rejoice in what he has done. Go with me to, you're at Luke, or when you're not at Luke, go to Luke chapter 24, Luke 24, Luke 24, and starting at verse 50, Luke 24, starting at verse 50. This again is after the Lord rose up from the grave. He's appearing unto his disciples. In verse 50, he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. That's the doctrine of the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ from earth here, right on up into heaven. And folks, that's where he's been ever since. That's where he's been ever since. The only time he appeared again was to the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus. That's the only other time. Otherwise, that's where he's been, and he will be there until he comes again. And then it says, verse 52, what was the response of those around him, his disciples and the women? And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. I want you to know that that word joy is the same word from the Greek word used for all hail, where it means to rejoice. It's the same Greek word. And so guess what we should be doing? All of us should be rejoicing and joying in the truth that Jesus died, was buried, he rose again, went back to heaven, and he's coming back again. And we need to go forth with great joy and worship him as well. Oh, by the way, you know what? Verse 52. Well, I'm just going to say this now. Verse 51 and 52. In verse 51, the words, "and carried up into heaven," are gone out of New Bible versions. You see how that affects the doctrine of the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, do we believe he rose up and went back to heaven or not? And verse 52, "and they worshiped him," and those words, "worshiped him," and are gone out of the New Modern Versions of the Bible. So it says, "and they returned to Jerusalem with great joy." Wait a minute. They worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. I like this song that was picked out. This, "brethren, we have met to do what?" Worship. Worship him with great joy and happiness. Verse 53, "and we're continually in the temple praising and blessing God." Amen. New Modern Versions leave out the word "praising and." All right? They leave that out. So it says, "and we're continually in the temple blessing God." Wait a minute. Praising and blessing God. There was joy in their heart and they were praising the Lord. You know what? When you really have joy like this that's talked about here, you can't contain it in. It has to come out. And they, when back in our passage there, when the Lord said to the women, "all hail," it says they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. And by the way, they don't take that out there in the New Modern Version. They leave that in there. Why do they take it out some places and not all the places, you know? But nevertheless, "and they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him." Their joy to see the resurrected Lord just couldn't be kept in. That needs to be the same way with us. Go to Philippians. Well, you don't have to go there. I'm going to go there. Philippians 4, verse 4. You guys all, many of you, I'm sure, know this verse. Maybe you've memorized it. "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say what? Rejoice. Rejoice. The same word, rejoice, there is the same root word as the one here when the Lord said, "all hail." And so Paul in the epistle to the church here in Philippi says to us, rejoice in the Lord always. Why do we have to rejoice in the Lord? Because he died, was buried, he rose again. We should be full of the joy of the Lord as a result of this. "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice." We have a lot to be joyful about. You really have to think about this. This is the crux of the whole gospel message. What you've put your faith and trust in for your eternal salvation. If you sit here this morning and you would say, if I would ask you, if you're here today and you know for sure that you're saved because you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and you're on your way to heaven, raise your hand. You know, if I asked you to do that and you would raise up your hand, you should be full of the joy of the Lord. I'm going to heaven. I'm saved. You should be wanting to rejoice in that. Well, I can't wait to get back home and watch the I don't know what kind of game, a basketball game. You know what? You got a problem. If that makes you more joyful than the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and that he saved your soul and taken you to heaven, we should be rejoicing in that. And we should be looking for every opportunity we can to rejoice in it. All right, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, one of the smallest verses in the Bible. I know what it is. I'm not going to go there. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16, one of the smallest verses in the Bible. You know what it is? Rejoice evermore. Rejoice evermore. You know what? If you're not real joyful about the truth of the death, burial, and resurrection of Lord Jesus Christ, you will someday in heaven. When you finally get a hold of the truth of this whole thing and how wonderful this is and how marvelous the whole matter of being saved and a child of God is, you're going to rejoice forevermore. I don't think that It'll matter to you when we get to heaven if the Golden State Warriors and Stephen Curry win that basketball championship this year or not. I don't think you're going to think about that up in heaven. I believe this. There's my Savior. Hey, all you angels, start singing praises to my Savior. And they start singing and everything. And then you'll say, hey, you Old Testament saints, how about thanking the Lord for all his wonderful works that he's done unto men? All right, you guys are done. It's our turn now. And the church is going to sing out grand, wonderful hymns of the salvation of the church, the bride of Christ. What a day it's going to be. I don't know about you, but that's what we should do. All right, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. Just in case you think I'm just building this up too much. You probably do think that anyway, but it's okay. I enjoy these things, but here's our instructions as the church. Ephesians 5:19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why do we sing? You know, you ever wonder, why do we start all of our services with songs and singing? Because we're to be rejoicing in the great things that we have in Christ Jesus. Death, burial, and resurrection. And the fact that he's coming back again. We need to rejoice in that. And if you're having trouble entering into that, I'd say get back into your Bible. Start thinking about all the great things that Jesus Christ has actually done for us. And think back to how it must have been for these women who followed the Lord Jesus Christ throughout his three years of ministry, and the disciples who walked and talked with him and watched him do all the things that he did, his miracles, listened to the wonderful words that he preached and everything, and now he was dead. All their hopes and ambitions, they had ambitions. You know, some of them said, hey, Lord, hey, when you set up your kingdom, can I sit on your right hand and my brother on your left hand? They were looking forward to this, and now it all was dashed. There lies their leader in the grave. And now the message comes to them. He rose up from the grave. The tomb is empty. And there was an angel there, we saw the women would say. Oh, their hearts were filled with great expectation, you can be sure. And the Lord comes and says, all hail, all of you rejoice. And they grabbed a hold of his feet and worshiped him. Now, prior to this, Mary Magdalene had seen him herself individually, and she wanted to do the same thing, to grab a hold of him. And he had to say to her, touch me not, I haven't gone to my Father. But very obviously, between the time that he met her and the time he went to heaven and came back to do this here, the other ladies also congregated at the sepulcher and heard the message. And all of them together now are running to the disciples. And the Lord stops and says, all hail. Oh, how we need to all hail the Lord Jesus Christ ourselves. We need to enter into it. I hope when you come through the doors, you know that this is what's in your heart. I can't wait till the pianist starts playing. Till the song leader gets up there and he says, open up, let's start singing this hymn. Let's sing this chorus. Let's have a good time now. I hope that's in your heart and mind. And if it isn't, I hope it will be from now on. And you know, folks, your church, Race Street Baptist Church, for many, many years has been a blessing to Christians who've come in here. And preachers who've come in here and they hear you guys singing. I fear that we might lose that. And I want to say, let's get back to the all hail. All hail. You know what? There was another time these same words were used. These same words were used. When the soldiers had Jesus and they made fun of him and they mocked him, they said, Hail, thou King of the Jews. And it was out of mockery. It was out of mockery. The same word. Hail, thou King of the Jews. And Pilate, in mockery as well, put a plate above the cross in three different languages. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews, as to mock him. This hailing is for the true followers of Jesus to express what's inside of them about what Christ has done. Now, Christ's appearance to his disciples was necessary in the program of God. You know, Jesus could have just rise up from the grave and gone back to heaven and just kind of left the Bible to do the work of explaining what took place and everything. But no. Christ's appearance to his disciples was necessary in the program of God. Now, I'd like you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where the Apostle Paul gives us the great passage of the doctrine of the resurrection in 1 Corinthians 15. If you ever want to study how important is the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, you just go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Mark it in your Bible. Write it on the, you know, one of those pages in the back here that they give you in your Bible where there's nothing on it. There's a whole bunch there. Put in there 1 Corinthians 15, all about the doctrine of the resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. I'm going to start reading as you get there. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. Who's talking here? Anybody know? Paul the Apostle, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. If you're saved here this morning, it's because of this information about to be given in chapter 15, which what I preach, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. You know, that's wonderful. But that's not enough. It's not enough. And that he was buried. That's wonderful. For you know, when he died for me, my Bible tells me that all my sin was laid on him. And now he's buried. That means my sin's buried. But you know what? That's not enough. That's not enough. And that he rose again. Amen. Oh boy, that puts the whipped cream on the top of the cherry, all right, doctrinally speaking, all right, and that he rose again from the third day according to the scriptures, and now look, and that he was seen of Cephas. That's another name for who? What's that another name for who?
Peter,
yeah. Then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once. 500 followers of Christ saw the Lord Jesus Christ after he rose up, of whom the greater part remain unto this present. Paul says, I'm writing this. He wrote it in the first century. There's still some people alive who saw the resurrected Lord. If you want to talk to them, go talk to them. Get their address. Go visit them. Did you see the resurrected? Yes, I did. I was part of the 500 that saw him. And after that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. Verse 8. And last of all, he was seen of me. That's Paul also, as of one born out of due time. And in order for the Lord to show himself to Paul, he did that on the road to Damascus, and he appeared unto Paul, allowed Paul to see him, the resurrected Lord. Over to verse 14. All right, you there? 1 Corinthians 15, verse 14. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain. And your faith is also... See how important the resurrection is? Your faith is vain. You sit here this morning believing in something that's totally worthless. If Jesus be not risen from the grave. Well then, if it's true that he is risen from the grave, how much important then is our faith and is the doctrine of the resurrection? It's great. Verse 14, 15. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God. In fact, we're a bunch of liars if we believe something that never took place. Because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. You know, those who've died before us believing in Jesus, if he didn't rise from the dead, they're lost as lost can be, even though they believed. Verse 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. You know, that's a difficult verse to grab a hold of, all right? That doesn't quite make sense just on its face there. If you just lifted it out and just read it by itself without the context of the resurrection and everything being there, it might not make sense. What do I mean? Verse 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, and you might say, well, I have hope in Christ. We are of all men most miserable. Well, what he's saying here within the context is, if your hope is in a Christ who died and was buried for our sins, and that's it, we are of all men most miserable. Because here's the Lord who died for us. He was buried for our sins and took our sins away. But if that's it, then we're most miserable. He has to rise up from the grave in order for that miserableness to go away and be replaced with joy and happiness. Verse 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. You see, folks, if there's no resurrection, we're miserable. If there is a resurrection, all hail, okay? Everybody be joyful and happy and rejoice and worship this one who died for us. In fact, Christ upbraided or rebuked those who disbelieved those who saw him in his resurrection body. Look at Mark chapter 16, verse 14. Mark 16, 14. All right, you got to go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Go to Mark 16, verse 14. Again, this is a parallel passage in the Gospel of Mark about the resurrection. Verse 14. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11. Now, that's minus Judas, okay? As they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Oh, that's interesting. Jesus appeared after his resurrection for a purpose. It was necessary in the program of God for Jesus not just to die, be buried, and rise again, then go back to heaven, but that before he went back to heaven, to appear to those who followed him and show himself. Go to John chapter 20. All right, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter 20, verse 26. I'll start reading as you get there. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. What do we call Thomas? We call him what? Doubting Thomas, right? And whenever somebody doesn't believe what you say, a lot of times we say, oh, you're a doubting Thomas. Well, that's where it comes from right here. And Thomas was with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Thomas, you didn't believe the message from those who saw me before, did you? I'm not reading out of the scripture. I'm telling you what I'm thinking and what's going on here. Thomas, now I'm reading from the scripture. Reach hither thy finger and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side And be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, Lord, get on the table, lay down. Take off your shirt. Let me see it. I got to check you out. Is that what he did? I don't think he did that. I don't think he even touched him at all. Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. You know what he did? The same thing that the ladies did. All hail. All hail. My Lord and my God. I believe that's what Thomas did. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas. By the way, New Modern Versions of the Bible leave the name Thomas out. So who is he talking to here? Jesus said unto him, Because thou hast said, no, amen. You know, Jesus is very particular when he's talking. Boy, there's Thomas. Doubted everybody's word about the resurrected Lord. Now he sees the Lord himself. And he cries out. And the Lord now, looking right at Thomas. Thomas, don't leave that out. Don't take it out. And the only way you can leave it there is to hang on to your King James Bible. Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. And here's something that's for you. The next words are for you, believer, so that you can do the all hail thing too, so that you can rejoice as well as they did. Look at what it says. Blessed are they that have not seen. Hey, how many of you have seen the resurrected Lord? Anybody here? Raise your hand. Let me see. I want to see who you are. I've never seen him. I've only seen him through the eyes of the scripture, through the eyes of the witnesses who gave us scripture about it. And I'm going to show you some verses here. I've never seen the resurrected Lord. But you know what? I'm just as ready to say, Hail, thou King of the Jews! I'm going to rejoice as well as they did when they saw the resurrected Lord. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. It was necessary for them to see him if they were to go into all the world with the gospel. I'm going to take you on a little trip to some verses. I want you to go to Acts chapter 1, verse 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. All hail. Oh boy, Christian, we should be all ready to rejoice in the Lord. Pastor, when can we meet again? We'll be here tonight at 6:30. Can we sing some songs tonight before you preach about the end time? Yes, and we will. Oh good, we get a chance to rejoice together. Yes, we will. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion. Passion refers to the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. After his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. All right. You know who the author of the book of Acts is? He is the same one who wrote the gospel of Luke. Would you go to Luke chapter 1 also? Luke chapter 1. I'm trying to develop here how necessary it was for Jesus to show himself alive to those who followed him. And for 40 days after his resurrection, he kept making appearances. Making appearances for 40 days before he ascended back to heaven. All right, Luke chapter 1, verse 1. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us. I like that. Things which are most surely believed. You know, I know the world makes fun of us Christians. Oh, yeah, you guys go to church all the time. Oh, I hear your church has 3 services a week, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Yeah, we do. And we enjoy going and learning the Bible and hearing about our Savior Jesus Christ and singing. We enjoy that. Well, I can think of some better things to do. I mean, once a week is good enough for me. You know what? Once a week's not good enough for me. I don't know about you. It's not good enough for me. I almost wish there was a way we could go every day. He said, "Now you're really pushing it." You know what? The early believers met daily from house to house, praising God together. Wow. All right, back here now, verse 2. "Even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were," and I like this word, "eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus." Oh, there's that name again, Theophilus. He was mentioned in the book of Acts. In other words, Luke wrote the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts for Theophilus' sake. "I want you, Theophilus," and of course anybody else who reads those, "to know we were eyewitnesses." All right, John chapter, First John chapter 1. First John chapter 1. That's all the way back toward the book of Revelation. You go back there to the book of Revelation and back up a little bit, and you'll come to First John. First John. Not the Gospel of John, 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. Oh, I like these verses. I hope you do too. I hope you do too. I kind of have it memorized a little bit. I think I could do it if I had to, you know, give it to you by memory. But I'm going to read so I don't mess up. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes." Now, John was the youngest of all the disciples of the Lord. It's in the Gospel of John, John never mentions his name when he's referring to himself, but rather says of himself, "the disciple whom Jesus loved." There are other times when it says, "the disciple that rested upon his breast." That's how he referred to himself. John is an eyewitness, and he's very important to you and me as an eyewitness. It says, "which we have seen with our eyes," verse 1, "which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested," or made known, "and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you." Folks, I need this. You know why? Because I was not there. I wasn't there. You say, "Well, I don't see any of these verses where it says John saw the resurrected Lord." Well, you have to go to the Gospel of John and you'll know he did see the resurrected Lord. So when he's saying here, "my eyes saw this, I handled him," because he even said in his resurrection, hey guys, come on, handle me and see. "For a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have." Come on, come and touch me. And they handled him. He even told Thomas, "Thomas, reach forth thine hand." But I don't think Thomas had to. He knew he was wrong up to that point. "My Lord and my God," he says. And John here says, verse 3, "that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye," and here's the reason, "that ye also," yeah, you guys who didn't see him, who didn't handle him, "that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ." And folks, listen to this next verse. "And these things write we unto you." New Modern Versions want to change it to "ourselves." "These things write we unto ourselves." Oh, you know what? You know what to do with those New Modern Versions? Go home and throw them away. It says this, "these things write we unto you." Who's the you? Us, who were not there to see it with our own eyes and to handle it with our own hands. We're getting the witness from this guy here, John, who saw him, who handled him. "These things write we unto you," and here it is, "that your all hail may be full." Okay? He said, it doesn't say that. I know. That your joy. It's the same word used for all hail. That you may all hail and have that all hailing full. Folks, okay. I'm done. You know what? You and I should be looking for every opportunity we can get to all hail the Lord Jesus Christ. I know he's not here for us to grab a hold of his feet like they did and worship him, but we can do it in spirit. They that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. We got the truth. John saw it. I, John, saw it. I, Paul, saw it. All right? Well, guess what? I can worship him in spirit and in truth. Well, I hope that's a blessing to your heart, and I hope you go out of here realizing how good it is to be a Christian, how good it is to be saved. And next time you hear someone say, you Christians are going off the deep end. You go too far with this thing. Hey, come on, you got to live. You got to live in the world. You got to live it up. You know what? No. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. I'm no good for this world anymore, except to witness to it. Well, you didn't see the Lord Jesus Christ, Pastor Freeman. I know, but I know someone who did. And he wrote it to me right here in this book called the Bible. And just as they had great joy, so can you and I. Hey, you know what? Live it up in the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? Live it up in Christ. Rejoice in what you have in Jesus Christ. Jason, how about you and Caleb come? Hey, Caleb, can you sing again? Would you sing that song for us again? I'm just a little branch on a big, mighty tree. That's what I am. That mighty tree is all the death, burial, resurrection, the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel. I'm just a branch on a mighty tree. Oh, boy. Go ahead, you guys, sing. I'm done. Amen. Sing it.
on my